Well, hello everyone and welcome to our sixth session on the Force of Righteousness. And this will probably be our next to the last one. I believe the Lord is leading me how to finish it up next week. And no, I don't have a clue on what we will be doing after that, but He knows and He will give it to us in ample time. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we thank You for this gift of righteousness that You've given us. Father, it's just incomprehensible that You would make us righteous like You and come to dwell in us. But we don't have to understand it. We just need to believe it. And so as we even study that today related to righteousness, give us revelation. Give us more revelation on who we are in You and how we can receive all that You desire to do for us as we build our faith today concerning righteousness and the things that You want to do for us. And we give You praise and glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, we looked at in righteousness and in power. And I'm going to do the review a little different this week. I'm going to go in and we're going to just look at what we covered last week. And then our verses that we've been based on and been building on through the first five sessions, I will go back and do those at the end of the review because it ties into how the Lord has led me to start this. So in righteousness and power last week, we looked at Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And this has come after we looked at the breastplate of righteousness and all that spiritual armor. And so we tied that into the strength. And let me just read you my amplified version, if I can, of verse 10. Says, most importantly, and there I have my name, but you can put your name there. Most importantly, Minton, have my supernatural power deposited in you continually as you stay locked, intertwined in relationship with me. That same power that El Shaddai, the Almighty God, used in raising Jesus from the dead, that's that same power. And then it says, Minton, you demonstrate my power in the earth today. Verse 11, again, my amplified version of it says, Minton, settle into and be comfortable in my spiritual tools of warfare, all of them. Use them confidently as you face and overwhelm, in other words, conquer, the evil forces and all their trickery. Your weapons are far superior than anything they can use against you. Glory to God. That's who we've been made to be in this righteousness that we've been given. Now, verse 12 and 13, we touched on them, but we didn't go into as much depth as we spent most of our time on 10 and 11. But 12, you know, we talked about how the devil plays mind games with us, and that's the way he attacks. He's only got one main road, and that's trying to get us to put ourselves in agreement with His Word versus God's Word. And then verse 13 encourages us to having done all. So in other words, putting on all your spiritual weapons, keeping them on, each of them playing an important role, but we really focused on righteousness. Stand firm. Now, think about this. He tells us to put it all and to stand firm. But remember this verse, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, that's who we're putting on. Because everything we have is the armor He used. It's what got Him through on this earth. And then it says, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now to me, this is saying, be righteous-minded or awake to righteousness. Living from righteousness and your flesh. And today we're even going to see how I think it can keep us from sinning if we live from that righteousness. And we also have righteousness Himself supporting our righteousness as we stand with Him. So the person of Jesus who dwells in us with His righteousness will support us. Now, we talked about this a little bit in four verses we used to end with last week, but I only want to read two of them concerning this righteousness and the strength that comes to us. And that's really what we were seeing last week. is the power that comes with us as we put on this spiritual armor and the forces that righteousness can provide. Isaiah 45:24 says, "The people will declare, the source of all my righteousness and strength is who? The Lord. The Lord is the source of all my righteousness and strength." Isaiah 41:10, one verse we are very familiar with, says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And he's talking about Jesus here, so righteousness himself. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." And then it says, "I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." And how's he going to do that? "I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand." So here again, we get this picture of Jesus holding us up, standing with us in righteousness to repel all the blows that the devil tries to get at the core of our being, at the very nature of who we are and what we believe. And this power of righteousness is available to you and I today. Now, I want to begin now to circle back to some of those foundational verses that we've used. I actually want to do this in building up, because we're going to add one more, one which you might have thought, well, why didn't you start with this one? But I believe the Lord had a purpose in it. So we based our study on 2 Corinthians 5:21, which said, "Him," or "he who knew no sin, he made sin." It's talking about the Father making Jesus sin on our behalf, for you and I. Why? "That we might become the righteousness of God in our Christ Jesus." God has declared you and I righteous, and this comes as a part of our new birth. And we're going to build on that a little bit today. Now, four scriptures that we've studied in the weeks previous, the first 4 weeks of our sessions, I want to review those with you, but we'll go into them in depth next week again, but just summary-wise today. Hebrews 5, 12 and 13, and reading from the Passion Translation in verse 13, this phrase is there, that, and it reveals to us this fact, that righteousness is a necessary revelation for maturities. He's telling us to grow up. And in seeing that, he's telling us, he shows us in these verses that righteousness is a necessary element of that maturity. We spent time on Isaiah 54:14, and it says in the Young Literal that we must establish ourselves in righteousness. And when we do, we will be far from oppression and terror, having no fear. Now, that one also ties into the one we'll be using today as well. The third one we used was in Romans 5:17, which tells us that we receive both grace and righteousness, and that does what? Enables us to reign as kings in life. So it's not just grace, but it's grace and righteousness. And we're going to build on that today, because you're going to see how those two relate. And then finally, we looked at 2 Timothy 3, speaking of the end time in verses 16 and 17, where it talks about instruction in righteousness is necessary so that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, and I would add, that he calls you and I to do. Now, with that today, I want to begin to talk about promises through the righteousness of faith. And we're going to start this by adding a fifth base scripture that really shows us the importance of righteousness, which is why we delved into this study that the Lord led us to in this manner. And I think it's going to have a lot more meaning, and you're going to see a lot more from it because of what we've already studied. So I think that's why the Lord had me include it at the end. So go with me to Matthew 6. And in Matthew 6, we're going to look at verses 31 through 34 with the real emphasis on verse 33. But these others so relate to it, we need to see this. Now, Jesus is giving some instruction to people and telling us, don't be anxious about what the future holds, what may happen. 34 starts in New King James. "Therefore, do not worry, Now that sounds like a command to me. And how do we worry? He gives us an example of how we can do that. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Now, do remember now, back when we looked at some things about fear, that we saw how Job said he worried about some things, he dreaded it. And what did he say? The thing I have dreaded has come upon me. And he ended up in that great fear of destruction. Verse 32 says, For after all these things the Gentiles seek, talking about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Boy, that's such a strong statement, and you're going to see that even built on today. And then verse 33. So instead of worrying and doing all that, what is he telling us? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, to me, we spend a lot of time talking about seeking the kingdom of God, but that and righteousness kind of gets just added on. But what have we learned? It's of paramount importance. In fact, I'll tell you, you cannot separate life in the kingdom of God from having an understanding of you being made righteous. You cannot achieve the fullness of your life in that kingdom without understanding your righteousness. And it concludes by saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. So here we are getting back to worry and dread. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I want to recall Isaiah 54:14, back to your memory now. What did we just read about it? That in righteousness we must establish ourselves. And what? And we will be far from oppression and terror, having no fear. So we see here in verse 31 and 34. So this section really begins and concludes by saying, don't worry. Which is what? Can lead to fear. And what have we seen concerning righteousness in this verse in Isaiah? If you establish yourself in righteousness, you will not fear. You'll be far from the things that would cause you and I to fear. And then we get to 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I don't believe this is saying seek first the kingdom and seek second righteousness. Both of these have to be pursued with the same energy, with the same commitment. And then it says, and all these things, the things that we need, that the Father already knows what we need, these things that we're going to see he has promised us will be what? Will be added to you. So verse 33 is the solution here to what he's talking about in 31 and 34. Seeking the kingdom and then all these things that God will add to us. Now, here is another verse citing the criticality of righteousness. Saints, I said earlier, you cannot pursue all the things of the kingdom with the confidence and the faith that you need without first being established in righteousness. You can't separate them. Now, what is our takeaway on this verse? Because this verse says, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Well, what do we know concerning you and I? So what does this verse speak to you and I? We have already been brought into the kingdom and made righteous. So I believe what he's telling us here is, I want you to be established in these principles, just like Isaiah 54:14 told us. So I think he's saying what I'm saying here to us as believers is, I want you to pursue, to seek to know the way the kingdom operates and righteousness, because that righteousness is a way the kingdom operates. And when we seek that, and when we know more about it, then we're more fully able to partake of His kingdom. So it is about establishing ourselves in righteousness, knowing who our identity is in Him, and what is the results. Then all these things, how about if I say it this way, all the promises made to those who live in the King's domain and believe Him will be added or made available to you and I. Glory to God. So here we see then, because we know that we receive things of God, the grace of God, by grace through faith. But we see faith coming then as a part of righteousness. Now, let me build on that. So if we go back to Romans 5:17, which we looked at, and I told you we would be coming back to it, read this with the understanding that the Scripture tells us over and over, the just, or those who have been justified, or the righteous, shall live by faith. Listen to this verse again with that perspective. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, that's you and I, and the gift of righteousness. So here are these two running buddies again. You can't separate grace and righteousness. You can't separate righteousness from the kingdom. Righteousness is a part of it. This is where it says we will do what? Reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. Now, I wanted to read this verse because it really sets up these next two verses that I want to read to you. Skip down to verse 20 in Romans 5. And we're going to start with the B part in the middle of it. It says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now, let's don't stop there. It abounded much more. Why? So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign. So how is grace reigning in life? Through righteousness. Again, running buddies, you can't separate them. It's like faith and hope. And it's even like love, as faith works through love. But faith, grace must reign through righteousness to eternal life, or to the God kind of life that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, Ephesians 2:8 tells us that. By grace, through faith. And so this righteousness we're beginning to see will be tied in to faith. If we look at Romans 4:13, it says, for the promise, talking about Abraham, that he would be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham nor to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So here we begin to see this tie. The right way of doing things, standing in perfect relationship with God, made as He is righteous to do things His way, our faith comes through that. Let me read you the Passion Translation. God promised Abraham that his descendants and his descendants, that they would have an heir who would reign over all the world. Now, we got to remember, Abraham is our what? Father of faith. And he was also one who was made righteous by believing God. This royal promise was not fulfilled because Abraham kept all the law, but through the righteousness that was transferred to him by faith. So you can't separate these two. Faith brings us righteousness. Our righteousness increases our confidence and our trust, our faith in God's Word, what He's promised us. And that righteousness, therefore, helps bring what? All these promises to bear in our life. Romans 10:10 is a way we see that in ourselves. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So righteousness comes when we believe Jesus in our heart. And then it goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made. So this same truth concerning Abraham is true for you and I today. We've been made righteous through our faith in Jesus. Abraham saw his day. Now we get to live in this day. Now I want to give you two other verses because I don't like just taking one and making a full doctrine out of it, but I want to talk about two other verses that talk about seeking or pursuing the things of righteousness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Now, you would agree that Paul understood more about the grace of God. He wrote grace through faith. He wrote grace through righteousness. And what do we see here? But you, O man of God, flee these things, talking about things of the earth, and do what? Pursue righteousness. And again, it's the first in a list of things. And look what follows. Godliness. So we're not pursuing godliness to have righteousness. We pursue righteousness, and godliness comes from that. Faith comes from that. Love comes from that. Patience, gentleness. So we flee the things of the flesh so that we can live from the Spirit, the righteousness Spirit that we now have, and just receive and pursue from God. But righteousness, again, comes first. Is that an anomaly? No. 2 Timothy 2:22. So he writes to him one more time, flee youthful lust. So this must be important that we turn our back on that. But we don't just do it by turning our back on it and hoping it goes away. We do it by turning our back on it and pursuing God's way of living, which is righteousness. And here again, faith, love, peace with all who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But again, righteousness leads that those elements of the fruit of the Spirit, really, what we're talking about. And it's through faith that we have all these things added to us. The righteousness of faith to receive the promises. Now, for the remainder of today, I want to go through, and I didn't count them, but it's probably 9 or 10 verses that talks about these things that will be added to us, but these are all tied to righteousness. And I just want you to begin to see it's all encompassing. The first is in Proverbs 11, verse 21, and I'm reading this one from the New American Standard. And some of these have a portion talking about the evil man, and I'll read those, but we'll focus on the righteousness part. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Now, when I think about being delivered, I think about being delivered from evil. And when I think about being delivered from evil, I think about all the impacts that evil have. In other words, what has sin done to us and the impact of it. And when I think about that, what comes to mind? Psalm 91, the great psalm of deliverance. And we're going to build on this one as we go through it. The second one is not only are we going to be delivered, but Psalm 92, verse 12, New King James, and the rest of these will be New King James. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, the palm tree flourishes, and the cedar in Lebanon symbolizes strength. And can I say that even in droughts, palm trees flourish? And so what does that tell us? Even in famine, we're going to be blessed. In fact, it says Psalm says he will keep us alive and he will satisfy us. And these cedars in Lebanon now were tall, straight, and strong trees. That strength that we've just been studying. So we're going to be strong in these times, and we're not only going to be strong, we can flourish in it because we are righteous. Because we've been made the righteousness of God. Let's pick up one in 1 Peter, which is quoting an Old Testament scripture. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now, when I read that, I think of Psalm 32, verse 8, which talks about how he will instruct us and guide us with his eyes, what? Upon us. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. So he has attuned his ear to us because we've been made his righteousness. Now, ponder this. I think this also implies how we can live. Look at what it says. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So it's talking about righteousness first, but yet with this righteousness, it pivots to talk about those who do evil. Now, His eyes upon us, the righteous, but it's against those who do evil. So if we are living righteous, then what is this kind of implying to us? That we won't be in a position to do the evil as we live for righteousness. And that takes us back to that Romans 7. Why am I doing these things that I don't want to do and the things I want to do I can't do? What's the solution that we see here? Live established in righteousness. Psalm 5, verse 12, New King James. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Now, bless means empower to prosper. Sounds like flourishing, doesn't it? For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him, the righteous, as with a shield. What does that imply? Protection again. That's Psalm 91. So it's this grace reigning in us, flowing through righteousness, that is causing these things to come about to us. And again, the shield, I mean, that's an element of our armor as well, the shield of faith. So He's shielding us. And begin to see the role that our faith plays in this being shielded. All these are Psalm except for one more. Psalm 37, verse 29 says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. How about if I say or remind us of this? It was the good pleasure of the Lord, Jesus said, to do what? To give you the kingdom. Those things that He has domain over, which is all, it's His good pleasure to give us that same privilege in His kingdom. And it says we will inherit this land and we'll dwell in His domain forever. And that's just not talking about heaven now. It's talking about here, and we're included in heaven. Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry out. Now, I read that more as the righteous call out. But it could also be we cry out of being startled. But again, the righteous are far away from fear, or they will not fear. So the righteous cry out, and the Lord does what? Hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, when we say all their troubles, think about what this can mean, the expanse of this. And it ties right back into being delivered from sin and all its impact. Would it include lack? Well, what does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what does it go on to say? He leads me through paths of righteousness. How about healing? Well, we could go to 1 Peter 2:24. In fact, let me just turn there and read this one, because I just have in my heart somebody here today is needing to hear this. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. Glory be to God. Famine, lack, not an issue. Walking in good health, prospering in our soul. That's all things. Delivered from worry, from fear. We shall not fear the righteous. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old. And I can read that book, that verse, a lot differently than I did 30 years ago now. I have been young and now old, yet I have never seen or not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his descendants begging for bread. Again, no lack, our good shepherd, flourishing in time of famine. 2 Timothy 4:8 really begins to sum this one up, this series of things up. It says, finally, so again, lastly, but most importantly, just as we saw finally last week in Ephesians 6, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Now he's talking about in heaven, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, Paul writes, but to all who have loved his appearing. Now, saints, no one other than Jesus had more revelation of righteousness than Paul. And as he approaches the end of his race, keeping the faith, and how was he able to do that? Because keeping that faith came through righteousness. We saw that earlier. As he understood this, he knew that even in this transition from this earth suit to his heavenly body, that righteousness would present him with a crown. That's awaiting you and I as well, as we live from this righteousness. And I want to conclude today's session with Psalm 146, verse 8. And this verse is going to lead us in some things we talk about next week as we wrap this up, as we begin to talk about the beauty of holiness and the love of God for us. Listen to what the psalmist says. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. Now, when I read those, I think about Luke 4 and what Jesus was saying, what he's come to do. He's come to what? Open the eyes of the blind, to set free and deliver those who are bound. All these things we're beginning to see. And look how it concludes. The Lord loves the righteousness. His chesed, his covenant love, his loving kindness is all over us as those who have become his family, who have been made righteous. Just ponder this during the next week, because this righteousness, this great salvation that Jesus purchased for us, it all is tied back to his love for us and the fellowship he desires to have with us here on this earth and forever. We'll see you next week. Ponder these verses. Go back over them. And as things come on the news talking about some of the bad things that could happen, use these to build yourself up in faith, to receive these promises, all these things that are added to you as we pursue his kingdom and righteousness first. Have a great week.